In the book of Galatians, the fifth chapter, Paul speaks of the fruit of the Spirit, the produce, what the Holy Spirit can produce, should produce, and will produce in our life if we don't get in the way. Before we talk about the fruit of the Spirit itself, I'd like to remind us of some things, and that is that when God initially created the heavens and the earth, He created all the trees, and every tree has been designed and planned. The power of God has been exerted. It always produces exactly the same fruit. We are planting seeds today that come from the same plants that God created in the garden, that God placed all over the earth. The cherry trees, the almond trees, the nut trees, the fruit trees, all sorts of trees producing seed. And every one of those plants always produces the exact same fruit. And that is an amazing gift. We can't do that. We mass produce things. And many times when we get the product, we call it a lemon or we call it a product that is defective because it can't do what the manufacturer says that it will do. And even if it can do that, it certainly cannot produce after its kind, creating after itself the same thing over and over and over again. So once we purchase a tree, and we put it in the ground, and we get a specific fruit from it, we know that as long as we live in that home, and as long as that tree is in the yard, that tree will produce the exact same fruit. It's a factory. And it's incredible to me that each seed creates a factory. One will produce cherries, one will produce apples, one will produce oranges, one will produce... And God's creative genius is incredible. And Jesus draws from that, and he actually takes this concept and moves it into a parable. And he says, a good tree does not bear bad fruit, because that's how God created it. Trees have no free will. Trees will always produce exactly what God created and planned for them to produce. Same with a bad tree. It's always going to bear bad fruit. Verse 44, every tree is known by its fruit. And I've given this illustration through the years. You know, this time of year, you can go out and you can look at various orchards, and only an expert would be able to tell you what kind of tree that was. But come fall, when there's fruit on the tree, we all become experts, because once we see the fruit, we know. We know what kind of tree it is. And so Jesus is not talking about what God did in the garden, though. He's talking about something much more important. And so in Isaiah chapter 5, let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. He dug it up, cleared out its stones, planted it with the choicest vine. He expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. Here is a critical point that we need to understand. Our decisions can change the fruit. We can become a Christian. We can allow the engrafted word to enter our heart. We can allow the seed, which is the word of God, to begin to produce. But we can still end up just right here. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done to it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plants. He looked for justice, but behold oppression. He looked for righteousness, but behold a cry for help. So God has created the plants that produce our fruit. He has also produced the word, the substance, the seed. The seed is the word of God. We learn that in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, God speaks of a vineyard. The New Testament, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. In the Old Testament, the pleasant plant was Judah. In the New Testament, Christ is the pleasant plant, and you and I are the branches. And so the quality of fruit that we produce can vary from day to day. One day we wake up zealous, we wake up realizing the importance of living a faithful life. We serve God with zeal, with joy, with faithfulness. But over time, as Jesus points out, the cares of the world, the desire for other things, the riches of life choke the word, and suddenly the fruit begins to change. In Hebrews 6, he puts it like this, the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives a blessing from God. And we bless it. When we plant a field with a wonderful crop and we get the crop, we praise God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. Now, we have two parables side by side. You remember, a parable is a physical story that illustrates a spiritual reality. This is a physical story that represents or teaches us about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. That's what the gospel will produce if we're a branch in the vine, if we are doing what the Word of God would move us to do. So what does that mean if we don't have them? Well, it means that we're in that vineyard that was supposed to produce choice vines, but produce sour grapes. This was John's message to Israel when he came. Bear fruits worthy of repentance. You know, most of us feel ashamed when we commit a sin, because God saw it, because we know that the wages of sin is death, because we understand and realize that we did something to somebody or to ourselves that never should have been done. And so we repent. We ask God for forgiveness. We feel that godly sorrow. That's the fruits of repentance. But sometimes the fruits are very short-lived. So one day we go out and we have these beautiful fruits of repentance, and then 2 weeks later, we have the fruit of sin again, because the fruits of repentance did not remain. Do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Now, that's the sad reality. God gave Israel the law so they could produce good fruit. But throughout the history of the Jewish nation, we see more bad fruit than good fruit. If you sit down and read the stories in the Bible of the different people who have lived, and the sad reality is that happens a lot in the church as well. And it may be happening to you and I. That's what this sermon is all about. This sermon is designed for you and I to think about, what has the gospel produced in me since I first heard it? And as I look at Paul and Peter, and as Paul said, find those among yourselves who are following my example and use them for a pattern. So as we look at the various people in the Lord's church and we look at their fruits, and we're not comparing ourselves with ourselves, we are simply comparing the fact that this person is producing fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. Am I producing those things? Do I even know what they are? Do I have them in my life? as the Word of God was planted, implanted in my heart. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is designed and planned by God to produce a specific thing. And if it's not producing that, then we're not a good tree. And it's very important that we look at this, because God has been very, very clear on it. So whenever we hear the fruit of, whatever comes next is going to be the essence of the tree and the fruit. The fruit of the vine. We know what that is. It's grape juice. Some grape juice is not worthy of the name. It needs to be thrown away, or the grapes are never squeezed, because they understand if we produce from this vine, we will get a product that we don't want. You remember when Elisha was coming into the prophets, and one of them had found some vegetables that were poisonous, and they'd put them in the pot with all of the good gourds, and there's death in the pot, is what they said. But Elisha was able to come in and put something into that pot and remove the death from it. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh. If you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap of the Spirit. Except he words it a little differently. If you sow to the flesh, the fruit is corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, the fruit is everlasting life. So it's important that we compare the works of the flesh, Galatians 5, 19 through 21, with the fruits of the Spirit, in Galatians 5, 21 and 22. And then we can look. I bring you into my yard in October, and you see the fruit on the tree, and I say, what kind of tree do you think that is? And you look at me like I'm crazy. Why would you even ask me that question? It's that tree. It's that fruit. What kind of a Christian am I? Well, look at the fruit. You can tell what kind of Christian you are by the fruit that we're producing. So each of us needs to look at the fruit of our lives. What's happened to our prayer life since we became a Christian? Are we drawing nearer to God? Is it a more fulfilling time in our life? Is it something we never forget to do? Is it something that we do, maybe one long prayer, either in the morning or evening, whether you're a night person or a morning person, that time of the day when you're most alert, that's the time to make that long prayer. But then throughout the day, we are praying, Father, help me through this temptation. Father, please give me a safe journey. Father, thank you for this food. Father, please be with this person that I love and I know they're struggling. And on and on and on, are we developing that? Do we have that fruit in our life? Many of us have been Christians for a long time. What is our fruit of prayer? What is our fruit of worship? We talked last week about each act of worship having a specific skill set to be able to do it. So when we take the Lord's Supper, we have to know about Christ's death, Christ's suffering, Christ's who he is and what he is, so we have something to remember, and then we remember it. Same thing with singing. We have to make melody in our heart. So we see the fruits that should be produced. And then we have to ask ourselves the question, if it's not being produced, what does that mean about me? And I think verse 8 is what it means. We're not sowing to the Spirit. Now, when it says sowing to the flesh, it doesn't necessarily infer that you're a wicked adulterer all the time, or an ungodly murderer all the time, or some terrible person. It just means that you're sowing to the things that are seen, and this world is your home. We sing, this world is not my home, but the person who's sowing to the flesh, that's where their home is. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So Jesus made it about as clear as he can. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes? Or figs from thistles? Now, he's dealing here with the good side of it. He could turn it around and say, do men gather
thistles from a cherry tree? Do men gather a terrible weed from an almond tree? No. Every good tree bears good fruit. Well, that's a parable. It's true in the physical realm, but it doesn't help us much because that's a truism. We all know that. Every good tree bears good fruit. If you end up, I've bought trees before and brought them home, and the time for the harvest comes and you're so disappointed because what you expected it to be, it's a slightly different variety or it's slightly different in its ability to produce that fruit. And that's what you're stuck with, unless you dig the tree up, because you know it's never going to get better. It's never going to get worse. It's going to stay the same. Now, the same thing is true with Christians. Every good tree bears good fruit. But a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Now, you think he's teaching us an agricultural lesson here? Is that why this is in here? So that we would understand that, you know, if you got a good tree, you're always going to get good fruit. If you have a bad tree, he's not talking about that. By their fruit you will know them. Now he's speaking specifically here of false teachers. If the fruit of a teacher is that people are becoming more and more liberal, they are viewing the scriptures with less and less respect, they are seeing the commandments of the Lord as something that needs to be less and less observed, that's their fruit. And so it's very, very important. Now, I'm just going to give scripture after scripture. Now, again, the purpose of this lesson is to lay the groundwork for the fruit of the Spirit, which I have to say we're not going to get to today. We're just going to lay the foundation. We're going to put the roots under the ground. We're going to try to understand why this is so important. Jesus said, "I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." Verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." So if I'm not bearing much fruit, what's the logical conclusion? I'm not abiding in him, and he's not abiding in me. Well, whose fault is that? It's not his fault. It's my fault. If we're not in the Word every day, if we're not praying without ceasing, if we are not thinking about our Lord and meditating on what he's done for us and appreciating and thanking him, he's not in us, and we're not in him. But if he is in us and we are in him, then we'll bear much fruit. Verse 8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit." So how much fruit are we bearing? You remember when Peter said, "Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, because if these things are yours and abound, you will not be idle and you will not be barren." So are those seven things fruits that show? Well, yeah, they are. Those are the fruits that will give God the glory. Those are the fruits that will produce, leading God to prune and leading God to leave us as a branch. So I have my marching orders. As God said in the Old Testament, he expected it to bring forth good grapes. That's what he expects. When we're baptized into Christ, we come up out of the water of baptism, he calls us a babe in Christ. He asks us to grow up in all things to him as the head, even Christ. He bids us to produce the fruits that would prove to us and to him, I think more importantly to us, because he already knows what kind of a tree we are, even without fruit. But we don't. Sometimes, like James said, we see what manner of person we are in the mirror, and then we forget. And so the fruits are important for our assessment of what we're doing. So are we bearing good grapes or wild grapes? Are we the Christian that you would say, if you want to get to heaven, just follow so-and-so? Because that person is exemplifying what the word is. You say, well, what right do you have to pick somebody here on earth? Well, that's what Paul did. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, I'm sorry, chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Brethren, as many as are mature, have the same mind I have, and you need to follow us as a pattern as well as those among you who are following that pattern. So when we come to the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of the Holy Spirit, just as God created a tree to bear after its kind, you say, how did he do that? You know, when we talk about as the rain comes down from heaven and it brings forth and buds, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me void. So just as God created a tree to bear after its kind, and just as we can identify that tree in the harvest, we can identify the works of the Holy Spirit by this fruit. So let's follow the progression here. Jesus said the word, the seed is the word of God. So the seed gets planted in my heart. And that seed begins to grow. And Jesus in the parable of the sower, Jesus said, some lands on good ground and produces 100-fold. How does that happen? How do we become a branch in the vine? How does the word of God produce fruit within us? Well, the author of the Word of God is the Holy Spirit. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of Spirit is spirit. Now, we talk a lot about being born again. We talk a lot about understanding that the water is baptism. And that's right. That's exactly right. The water is baptism. But what is the Spirit? What exactly or how exactly does the Holy Spirit work in our hearts to produce fruit, just like God sent the Holy Spirit and Jesus to be involved in the initial creation, and they were able to put within every tree and every seed the ability to produce fruit. So Peter puts it like this: we go from the known into the unknown. We go from the simple into the complicated. You have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. So we go from the simple truth to the Holy Spirit. Let's keep reading. In sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Now, maybe we haven't seen this before, but what he's actually saying here is that the Word of God is an incorruptible spiritual seed that is placed in our hearts. How? Through the Holy Spirit. So when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, what we're actually saying is that the Holy Spirit is working within us through the word. Now, I often illustrate it when I'm in Malawi, what I'll do, because you can find seeds everywhere. I was going to pick one up and I thought, well, there probably aren't any here. But you put a seed in your hand. And then you go out and find a rock that looks almost like the seed. I mean, the rock and the seed. And you say, you look at these two things. What can you tell me about them? Well, one of them is life that has been stored in a seed. And the other one's just a rock. If you put the rock in the ground, nothing will ever happen. If you put the seed in the ground, it will produce a tree, an oak tree, a cherry tree, an apple tree, an apricot tree, a peach tree. I mean, we could just go on and on and on. It's all stored in the seed. Well, what is a seed? A seed is something with life in it that has not yet come to life, but as soon as you put it in the ground, it will come to life. So that's corruptible seed. Well, what's incorruptible seed then? Well, the Word of God is the incorruptible seed. So here I have a Bible, and here I have a songbook. What's the difference between these two books? Well, this book is just a book. This book is the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, and when people read it, suddenly that eternal life can spring right from this book into our hearts. Now, how does that happen? God has put into the Scriptures, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the ability of the Scriptures to put eternal life in our heart. The ability of the Scriptures to plant a seed or a plant in our heart, to engraft us into the vine. And you say to yourself, and I say to myself, well, how do I know if that happened or not? Well, you look for fruit. And this is the fruit. Now, as I said a moment ago, I'm not going to deal with this today. I just want to lay the foundation. So the richer the harvest, the greater the Holy Spirit is working in our life. It's interesting to me, you know, that we have things where we can turn it up or turn it down. We have a dimmer switch on our lights sometimes. We have a volume switch. Of course, you don't turn it anymore. You push a button. But still, the volume switch will turn it up or pull it back down. And we can do the same thing with our trees. If we fertilize them every year, we can turn up and speed up the growth. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, the same thing is true with the Holy Spirit. You remember Paul saying, quench not the Spirit? Quench not the Spirit means do not stop allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you and in your life, because you can choose to do that. So if we're sowing to the Spirit, then the fruits are going to be evident. And you can't hide, and you can't hide it. We need to see growth. Are you more patient with people now? Less ready to jump down their throat? Less ready to, or more ready to turn the other cheek? Are we kind? Do we treat other people kindly? Is the law of kindness on our lips to where we would never be rude? Love is never rude, we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is always kind. So am I developing that? My faithfulness, every word that goes out of my mouth, I'm going to do it. How often do we say something and we don't do it? That means we're not faithful. And so all of these things are sowing to the Spirit. So we come back then to the seed is the Word of God. And we have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides. I'm going to look at one more verse and we'll start making an application. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. That's your volume control. That's what we have to do. If we're going to sow to the flesh, we're going to end up with this overflow of wickedness. But if we're going to sow to the Spirit, then we're going to receive with meekness the implanted Word. Why would James call the Scriptures the implanted Word? Because it does get into our heart. You say, well, I don't understand that. Well, I don't understand it either. I put a seed in the ground, and that seed is grafted and begins to put a root down. And as the root goes down, the plant starts to come up. And when I see the plant, whatever tree it is, I know that it has begun its life cycle. Now, we see it too much to be able to say, well, I don't really understand it. I understand it. Well, explain it to me. Well, I can't explain it to you. Because I don't really understand it. Just like I don't really understand how the Word of God can get into my heart and it can start producing fruit. But it does, just like the seed, which is an apple seed or an orange seed or a tomato seed. I mean, we could go down to the herbs. The point is, God says the seed is the Word of God because the same Holy Spirit who was involved in each one of those plants being able to produce a tree is the same Holy Spirit who is involved in each Christian receiving the ability to produce this fruit. And so once that seed enters the heart, it's going to do one of two things. It's either going to germinate and start to grow and start producing. It's going to become, what do we call, the manufacturing plant to produce the fruit of the Spirit, just like an almond tree will manufacture almonds, and a walnut tree will manufacture walnuts, and a mango tree will manufacture mangoes. Far more amazing than any factory we could ever go into. So there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The Spirit is speaking to us through the Word of God. Whenever God's Word is in our heart, the Holy Spirit's in our heart. Because the Word is the sword of the Spirit. This book is only, the only thing this book does is it puts me into fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He has put His thoughts, He has put His power, He has put everything that we need into the Scriptures. When we use the Scriptures, it should be doing the same thing in our heart that that tree is doing when we plant it in our yard. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now that's a very interesting way of looking at it. Because more literally, I read it in God's Word, and then I begin to practice what that Word says. But Paul takes it back to the source. The Scriptures bring us into contact with the Holy Spirit. The Scriptures allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life. The Scriptures simply open it up to us, just like another seed. If you plant that other seed into the ground, it becomes a life. And when God says the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and the Word of God is incorruptible seed, which lives and abides forever, He's trying to tell us something. He's trying to tell us that I can do the same thing with my Word that I did with all those seeds. I put all those seeds into the ground, and every one of those seeds produces a tree, and every one of those trees produces a fruit. I did the same thing with the Scriptures. So as many of you as are led by the Spirit of God, well, how are we led by the Spirit of God? By following the Scriptures. How does the plant get into our hearts? By reading the Scriptures. The seed is the Word of God. It's not just a parable, it's also a spiritual reality. So even though it's just a book, it's not just a book. If I put a gallon of water here and a gallon of gasoline here, we're smart enough to know you can throw a match into that water, but if you throw a match into that gasoline, you might die. Because that gasoline, and you say, well, maybe the match would put it out. Well, maybe it would. But if there's enough fumes, as soon as it hits those fumes, it's going to go. It doesn't matter whether it ever hits the water or whether it goes out or not, because there's power in gasoline. I could put a pound of plutonium here and a pound of rock here, and you know what would happen with that plutonium. If you put it into the right set of circumstances, it can have a nuclear reaction and become a nuclear bomb. We understand that there can be power in metal. We understand there can be power in liquid. We understand that there can be power in gas. There's a huge difference between natural gas and air. One's inert, the other one has power. So why can't we understand that the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword? It is the seed. It is the sword of the Spirit. It is what the Holy Spirit uses to create a plant in me that can produce fruit. But the only thing it needs is my free will. I have to do what is necessary. So what fruit are we producing? God planted a choice vine in each one of us with the opportunity for each one of us The seed is the word of God. It gets into the heart. In the heart, it produces some 60, some 100-fold. How does it do that?
I don't know how it does it. I don't understand. I mean, you say, how does a plant work? Well, I don't understand that either. I don't understand how you can put that inert object in the ground and get a tree. I don't understand why gasoline or plutonium or natural gas has a force, a life force within it. But I know they do. And I know the scriptures do too. That's why we read it. That's why we believe it. That's why we trust it. Because if the Holy Spirit is influencing and working through us, through the seed, which is the word of God, then we're going to know by our fruit. You say, well, how do you know the Holy Spirit's working within you? Because I see growth, I see development, I see changes. And by faith, I understand where that is coming from. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? In other words, what did you produce before the scriptures entered your life and entered your heart? What did you produce? And Paul says, what fruit did you have then in the things in which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. And then on the other side, but the fruit of the Spirit. And then we have an entirely different subset of produce. We have the bad tree here, sowing to the flesh, creating sin. Sin comes alive, we die. How does sin come alive? Well, you'll have to read in Romans chapter 7. Paul explains, I was alive, the commandment came, it came alive, sin came alive, and I died. So there's one plant. And there's one thing that produces fruit in my life. And that's the thing Paul talks about here. And whatever that fruit was, whether we were a liar or a cheat or sexually immoral or a drunkard or whether we were angry and whether we harm people, we have fruit from the sin that's dwelling in us. But the Holy Spirit also can produce fruit. That's why Paul says, if you're sowing to the flesh, you're just going to get more and more and more corruption, more and more sin. But if you sow to the Spirit and put to death the deeds of the body, you're going to get more and more good fruit. So, watch tomorrow. Just watch yourself tomorrow. What fruit am I going to produce today? So you're driving to work, spewing all kinds of anger and frustration because this driver didn't do this and this happened here. Or maybe I'm running a little late and I've got to hurry, but these things are in the way and suddenly I'm just all... And then here's another person who's a true Christian who turns the other cheek and who has long-suffering and meekness. Remember the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. But then in other places there's other things. So watch yourself tomorrow. And see, by the end of the day, what did I produce today? Would you say that from the way this day went, I've really grown as a Christian? Or would you say from the day this day went, I better get to work because my product is way off key or off kilter. And that means my plant, the Word of God, which is supposed to be growing in me, it's not being fertilized. It's not being properly cared for. So we get the opportunity, brethren, and that's what this sermon's all about. We get the opportunity to watch what is produced in our life and draw the conclusion. The Holy Spirit is working in me. My flesh is dwelling in me. Paul says, I know that within me, that is in my flesh, not one good thing dwells. But the indwelling of the Holy Spirit brings the ability for good things to dwell. So as we pick up our songs, our songbook this morning, and we turn over to number 263, what are we going to do with this information? Well, you can go home and forget it. Matter of fact, by next week, anybody remember what I preached last week? How about 2 weeks ago? Did it change your life? Boy, that was a sermon. No. But if you went home and you said, I'm going to do something with this, then if I say, what did I preach 2 weeks ago? You say, well, here's what you preached because I've been working on it ever since. Well, what about this sermon? Is this sermon going to produce fruit?
The engrafted word has been planted. The seed has been given the opportunity to grow just that much more. And God wants to see what we're going to do with that. And so as we sing the song of encouragement, we have several opportunities and several choices. If you're not a Christian yet, then you haven't been born again. You haven't been born of water and the Spirit. You haven't allowed the eternal and corruptible seed, the Word of God, to start growing. If you're here as a Christian and you're not producing any fruit, then the plant is withering, and God said, what more could I do? I've given you my word, I've given you my son, I've given you my promises. What more do you want? So as we sing this song, if there's anyone in the audience who realizes a need to turn back to God, maybe not publicly, maybe you don't have to come forward today, maybe you just have to go home and say, Lord, my eyes are open. I need to make some changes. Please help me remember, help me to grow, and I'm really sorry that I'm still here. I thought I'd be further along at this point. Whatever we can do for you and whatever you can do for yourself, think about it very carefully while we stand and sing number 263.